This is Monday morning, January 7th, 1974, in Richmond, Virginia. Ministry is being given through Brother Stephen Kong.
Lord, how we praise and thank Thee, that Thou who art so great, the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain Thee. And yet Thou art pleased to dwell with man, with the poor and contrite in heart. So Lord, as we come together this morning, we come with a heart of humility. We bow low at Thy feet. We worship Thee. We open our hearts to Thee and look to Thee to fill us with Thyself. O Lord, how we praise and thank Thee because Thou art the God of all comforts. Comfort us. Strengthen us. Encourage us that we may follow Thee all the way. Lord, our one desire is to please Thee and to glorify Thyself. May Thy will be done on earth today among us and among Thy people everywhere as it is in heaven. In Thy precious name we pray. Amen. Last night we read from Haggai, and this morning we will continue on Haggai chapter 2. Found it. It's not difficult to find because if you begin from the last of the Old Testament, and as you go up, you find Haggai the third to the last. Haggai chapter 2. We'll read the first 9 verses. In the 7th month, on the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of Jehovah by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, says Jehovah, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye peoples of the land, says Jehovah, and work, for I am with you, says Jehovah of hosts. The word which that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, and my spirit remain among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith Jehovah of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, said Jehovah of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said Jehovah of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, said Jehovah of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, says Jehovah of hosts. We mentioned last night, we find the history of the recovery among the people of Israel in the two books of Ezra and Nehemiah. How God allowed his people to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the house, the temple, and also to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, that the testimony of God might be reestablished on earth. But the prophetic part of the recovery was to be found in three books in the Old Testament. The books of Haggai, of Zechariah, and of Malachi. If we want to know God's work of recovery among his people, we should study not only the historical books about recovery, we shall also study the prophetic books of recovery. Because prophecy occupies a very important place in the work of recovery. As a matter of fact, whenever there is a declension, a falling away, a weakness, God, out of his great compassion, will send his messengers, his prophets, to his people in order to recover and to restore. So it is rather strange, and yet it is not strange, that you have more prophets and prophecies at the time of declension than at the normal time. Why? Because the prophetic ministry is not a permanent order. Priesthood and kingship are permanent order of God. But prophecy is a temporary order. One day prophecy will pass away. But we shall be kings and priests unto God forever and forever. But prophecy plays a very important part in recovery. We find the rebuilding of the temple. It was through the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah that the rebuilding of the temple was finished. So, brothers and sisters, as we are applying these to our days, to ourselves, we find that today the testimony of Jesus is at stake. How can the testimony of Jesus be reestablished on this earth? Two things are essential. The life of God's people with God, as typified by the rebuilding of the temple, must be recovered. Not just our individual life with God, but our life as a people with God must be restored. And then our life with one another, as typified by the rebuilding of the wall, must be recovered. And when these two things are being recovered and restored, then the testimony of Jesus will be reestablished on this earth. And how important the whole thing is. And in order that this may be accomplished, we need to hear prophetic utterances. We need to know the mind of God. We need to hear what God has to say as to our present situation. And what does he want us to do? What will please and satisfy him? We need people with vision. People with sensitivity. People with discernment. People who know the mind of God and will tell us what God's mind is. And that will be a great help in the work of the recovery of the testimony of Jesus. In the case of the remnant, we find God raised up Haggai. Haggai probably was an old man. By this time, he might be around 90 years of age. Often we think that the hope is with the young people, and that is true. But God is no respecter of persons. God can use older people as well as younger people. And we find in the person of Haggai, an older one, and in the person of Zechariah, a younger one. And through the cooperation of the old and the young, the work was done. So, brothers and sisters, we do hope that we will encourage the older people. If we have a heart for the Lord, if we seek to know His mind. Now, that's important. Why is it God used Haggai? Because Haggai was one who sought the mind of God. He was concerned with the situation of the remnant. He was troubled by the stoppage of the work of the rebuilding of the temple. And he was looking to God for a solution. And as he waited upon God, with his heart and spirit open, God's word came through him. So, brothers and sisters, if we are open to the Lord, if we are burdened for the Lord's interest, if we inquire of Him, if we seek to know His mind, we shall know what His mind is. And we will be used by Him to communicate to God's people, especially to the remnant. To those who have responded to God. That we may be able to tell what God's mind really is. Now last night we mentioned that Haggai prophesied only about 4 months. Not only the days of his prophecy were short, but his prophetic utterances were few in number. Altogether, 5 utterances happened at 3 different occasions. And yet, you find the effect of his prophecies was great. It was through these prophetic messages that the people, that the remnant, responded, and the work was done. So it is not really in how many words you say. How often you say. It really is in whether it is God who is speaking through you. And when God speaks, His Spirit works, and the people respond. Last night, we began with the first occasion of his prophetic utterances. It was in the first day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of King Darius. And there you'll find, through the prophet Haggai, God presented to the people, or God challenged his people. Now remember, the challenge was not to the world. God does not challenge the world because they are not his people. God did not even challenge the whole nation of Israel. Why? Because most of the people of Israel remained in Babylon. They didn't come back. They cared too much for themselves to care for God's interest. So God did not even challenge them. But God challenged the remnant of the Jews. Those who came back, who had a desire to stand for God. And God challenged them. The remnant said, this is not the time to build the temple. Let's wait for a more convenient time. And then we will build the house of God. And God said, is it time for you to build your own houses? You allow the house of God lie in waste, in ruin, and you dwell in wainscoted houses, that is, in houses with paneled walls. You live in comfort, you live in luxury, and you allow the house of God in ruin? Is this a time for yourself and not a time for God? Now that's the challenge. This remnant came back for God. They were willing to be uprooted. They came back with the one and only purpose to rebuild the temple. And yet, they were not building it. They were building their own houses. And brothers and sisters, this continued for about 40 years. And as they went by, the longer the period, the less sensitive their spirits became. A kind of spiritual lethargy had developed among this remnant. A spirit of indifference. They had not totally forgotten the house of God, because that was what they came back for. And yet there was a lethargy, an indifference, a slowness, a spiritual slumber. They could allow the house of God lie in waste for years and years and years. And the longer the years, the less interested they would become. That was the peril before them. So God sent his prophet Haggai to speak to their conscience. Is it time for you to build and to dwell in your panel houses while it is not time for you to build my house? Consider your ways. You are under the discipline of God and you don't know it. You labor much, you sow much, but you reap little. You eat much, but you are still hungry. You drink much, but it does not quench your thirst. You clothe much, but you don't get the warmth. You earn wages, but the wages are put in a bag with holes. Now why? Why is it that you are not satisfied? Why is it nothing is full? Why? Because you are under God's discipline. You are God's people. You have committed to God. You are committed to build the house of God. And now you are building your own houses. The hand of God is upon you. He does not allow you to be satisfied. He does not allow you to be full. And you should know it. You should realize it. And yet, you're not conscious of it. You're not aware of it. Brothers and sisters, that is the danger of spiritual lethargy. How we can start out with a fresh spirit, living, sensitive, keen for God, and yet when we meet some difficulties and oppositions, we do not give up altogether, and yet gradually a kind of spiritual lethargy is developed within us. we may be now in God's discipline, under God's discipline, and yet we don't know it. We wonder why we should labor so much and reap so little. We wonder why there is drought. We wonder why God does not bless us more, and yet we never come to realize why. Because we are under God's discipline. And the prophet said, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. Bring down the woods. And build a house that I may be pleased with it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord of hosts. God wants to arouse us from our spiritual lethargy and be diligent in seeking His face. Gather materials from Him and to work on the rebuilding of the house of God. Now thank God. Through this challenge, the people's spirits were stirred. The spirit of Zerubbabel, the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of the remnant of the people, they were stirred. They hearkened to the voice of God. So the second word came to them, a word of comfort, of encouragement. The Lord said, I am with you. Now go ahead. Now you are where I am. You are with me now. And I'm with you. And on the 24th day of the 6th month, within the month, the people came together and started to build. Now, that was the first occasion of the prophecies of Haggai. This morning we would like to go to the second occasion of Haggai's prophecy. In the 7th month, on the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of Jehovah by the prophet Haggai. About 2 months now. About 2 months from the first prophetic message of Haggai. Within a month of the working of the remnant on the building of the temple. Now, brothers and sisters, they started the rebuilding of the temple on the 24th day of the 6th month. And now it was the 21st day of the 7th month. They had worked on this temple for about a month. How long did it take them to finish the building of this temple? 4 years. It took them 4 years to finish the building. But after they had worked on it for about a month, one thing was already clear. You don't need to wait until the temple was finished to notice this. Within a month, one thing was too clear to them, and that was, this temple which they are now building could never be compared with a temple built by Solomon. Not by any means, there wasn't any chance. Within a month, they could see very clearly what they were doing could never match up with what Solomon had done. And that discouraged them. That discouraged them. Is it worthwhile to rebuild it. It can never arrive at the glory of the Temple of Solomon. Then why bother? Is it worth it? Should we just give it up? Because there is no possibility of arriving at the glory of the Temple of Solomon. And you know, when you realize that, it was like a dagger that strikes into your breast. Compare the temple built by Solomon with this temple to be rebuilt by the remnant. In a matter of time, Solomon spent 7 years in building the temple. He started in his 4th year, and he finished in his 11th year. And this temple was finished in 4 years. When Solomon built the temple, he mobilized 70,000 people to bear burdens, 80,000 stonemasons, 3,600 supervisors to superintend the work. But look at the remnant. The whole number of the remnant came only to about 50,000. Even if everyone should work, the men and the women, the servants and the children, everyone would be involved in that work. It was just 50,000. Solomon had 70,000 just to bear the burdens. 80,000 stonemasons. 3,600 supervisors. You cannot compare it. It's a small thing. When Solomon built the temple, he had gold in abundance, silver in great measure, stones and timber could not be numbered. There was no limit to his resources. Look at this remnant. They were slaves, coming back from captivity. Even if they put all their things into the temple, together with the things that people didn't come offered, and even with a few vessels that King Cyrus allowed them to bring back to the temple. If you compare the materials, if you compare the resources, it couldn't be compared even. One was in abundance, and here was just a little. Compare the size. Solomon's temple was majestic, gigantic. It was built with massive stones, covered with gold, with porches, with pillars. Now, even though the holy place and the holiest all were of the same size, and yet it was just a small building in comparison. Later on, you know, at the time of Christ, Herod the Great used 46 years to enlarge it. But when the remnant built that temple, it was rather small. Everything, you can compare every area of this which the remnant was building and that which Solomon had built, and there was no comparison. Those who had seen the temple of Solomon, and Haggai probably was one of the older men who had seen it, when they look at what they were doing, their heart went down. It was nothing. It was nothing. And God knew what was going on in their mind. God knew. God knew that even when they began to work on it, their hearts were already down. God knew it. Therefore, within a month, the word of God came to the remnant through Haggai and said, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? You still have some among you who saw the former glory of this house, that is, the glory of the temple built by Solomon. Even though only a few might be left, but a few might be talking. And soon everybody knew. And now, and how do we see it now? How do we see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Oh, brothers and sisters, don't brood secretly within you. God said, bring it out. Bring it out. God knows what was going on in their minds. They dare not say it. And yet it was eating them up within. God was not afraid to bring everything out to the open. God does not want us to deceive ourselves. God said, all right. All right. If you compare what you are doing now with what Solomon had built, it was nothing in your eyes, and you're right. It was nothing. But was it nothing? Does God measure things by outward appearance? Is the value of things rested on the physical, or is it the spiritual that really matters? It is true, the temple of Solomon was majestic, built with splendor. And this that the remnant was building was small, much cheaper. If you look at things with outward appearance, if you put a value on outward things, this was nothing. But God said, this is not the way I look at things. I do not put value on the physical, on the material, on the size, on the outward appearance. God said, my value is in the spiritual, in that which is real. Notice one thing. God does not say the glory of the former house. God says the former glory of this house. You see the difference? God does not say, have you seen the glory of the former house? And now you see the little, the nothing of this house. No, God doesn't say that. God said, have you seen the former glory of this house? In other words, in God there is only one house. Whether it is the tabernacle of Moses or the temple of Solomon, all the temple rebuilt by the remnant, enlarged by Herod the king? All the spiritual house that Christ built, it is only one house. Today, rich people may have many houses. You may have a winter house, have a summer palace. You may have different houses. But our God has only one house. He does not believe in many houses. To the people, they may think the house of Solomon is one house. The house built by the remnant was another house. Don't they know? No. There is a continuity there. There is a unity there. There is a oneness there. God said the tabernacle built by Moses, this heaven, the temple built by Solomon, and this temple you are rebuilding, and even in the New Testament, the spiritual house Christ will build. This is just one house. One house. The former glory of this house, that is, the glory that you see in the temple built by Solomon. But here, what you are building is the same house, not another one. Sometimes it may look very massive and majestic. At other times, it may not be seen even, or it may look as if nothing. But they are all part of the same house. Yes, sometimes it may look big. Other times, it may look small. Sometimes, it may be full of splendor. At other times, it may not even be noticed. But God said, they are all parts of my house. Just the same. In other words, what you are doing are not lost. What you are doing are part of my plan. Part of my plan. You are building my house. And that is what really matters. It doesn't matter how it looks outwardly. It doesn't matter. So long as you are involved with the building of my house. And that is what really matters. Don't be discouraged. Brothers and sisters, oh, when you read the New Testament, when you go back to the first few chapters of the book of Acts, you see the glory, the former glory of the house, and you see what you are involved today. You had the same feeling, I know. You have the same feeling. Why bother? No need to bother about it. It just won't work. It can never regain that glory. You'll find it at chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. But God said, it is one house. He is building it. He doesn't care about the outward things. So long as you are involved in the building of his house, that is what matters. The Lord said, be strong. Be strong. Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land, and work. Do not brood over the thing. Do not be deceived by our appearance. Be strong and work, because this is what I want. The Lord said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I know what you are going through. This is my way. Just be faithful. That's all that I require. It is not in these outward things. Why? Because one day, God said, I will shake the heaven and the earth, the sea and the dry land. All that is physical will be shaken off. Eventually. Don't put value on the outward things. Sooner or later, all these outward things will be shaken to pieces. All that can be shaken will be shaken off. That the kingdom which cannot be shaken may abide. Now, brothers and sisters, that is what really matters. If we are building something big, and if it's not of God, it is a deception. One day the fire will burn. One day it will be shaken and disappear. But if it's something done in the will of God, something done out of love, something done with God, even though it may not appear to be anything, in eternity, you'll find it there. You'll find it there. The tabernacle of Moses, the temple of Solomon, the temple rebuilt by the remnant, all that are typified there are realized in the spiritual house, the church of God, and consummated in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. All are parts of the New Jerusalem. And furthermore, God said, the word which I have covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, and my spirit remain among you, fear ye not. God said, I haven't changed. I wonder what the word which God covenanted with the children of Israel referred to. I think probably it referred to Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. You know, in Exodus chapter 19, after God had brought them out of Egypt and brought them to Sinai, because that was the sign God gave to Moses, that it was he who sent him there. What was the sign? That the people would worship him at this Mount Sinai. And here God had brought his people to Mount Sinai as eagles, as on eagle's wing. God has brought his people to himself. And God said, if you will hearken to my voice, if you will keep my command, my covenant, I will make you a peculiar people, a people of my possession out of all the nations. And I will make you a nation of priests. A nation of priests. Now, brothers and sisters, that's what God spoke to the children of Israel in the first place. When God took them out of Egypt. And God said, my word and my covenant had not changed. God said, in spite of what had happened through the years, my covenant stood, my word stood, this is what I say, and I still keep it. I will make you a peculiar people, a special people, a nation of priests, that you may serve me. And not only God's word has not changed, not a bit. He said, my spirit remains the same. As the Spirit of God led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land, the same Spirit was with the remnant. His Word and His Spirit remained with us. And brothers and sisters, what else do you want? We may change. We often change. But God's Word stands forever. His covenant with us never changes. And His Spirit abides with us. With His Word and with His Spirit, all things are possible. That's where our strength is. Brothers and sisters, oh, how the hearts of the remnant were comforted. God said, I remain the same with you. Just as in the beginning, when I led you out of Egypt unto myself. What a promise that is. Those who are faithful to the Lord will have His Word and His Spirit to strengthen them as they go on. But you know, God looked far ahead than the immediate. So God said, after a little while, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says Jehovah of hosts. The remnant, they were looking at the little house they were building, and they were quite discouraged. But God said, I'm looking way ahead. Yet once, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the desire of the nations shall come. Now, what is the desire of the nations? I believe the desire of the nations is Christ. So here you'll find the prophet goes further and further out to the future. And God said, don't be discouraged. The little you are doing, it is true, is nothing. Physically speaking. But that doesn't matter, because all that is physical and material will be shaken after all. Even the heavens and the earth will be shaken. All these things will go. The whole nations will be shaken. I will bring in my Christ. And when I bring in my Christ, I will feel and brothers and sisters, what is this house? The same house, but realized in the church. This little house rebuilt by the remnant is that house where the glory of the Lord shall dwell, when Christ shall come. We should be comforted. Yes. If only we can see this. Oh, the remnant. If only they could see this, they would not be discouraged. They knew what they were doing. In a sense, was in line with God's divine plan. You can almost like drawing a line. Here is a straight line. God is work. And then a dip. The fall, the failure. And here the remnant is going up and join the straight line, going forward until God finishes his work in New Jerusalem. Nothing is lost. It is just in the process. Part of it. Part of it. And the Lord said, the desire of the nations shall come, and he will fill his glory, fill the house with his glory. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said Jehovah of hosts. Don't be so concerned. You have no gold. You have little silver. What can we do? Solomon, when he built the temple, there were gold and silver in great abundance. And how you would like to build it with abundant gold and silver. But you don't have it. You don't have it. But the Lord said, the gold is mine and the silver is mine. Gold represents the glory, the nature of God. Silver, the redemption of our Lord Jesus. The house that Christ is building is certainly built with gold and silver. There is no lacking of it. He is the supplier. He will build the house, the spiritual house, that which he can really dwell. He will build his church with gold, with his own life, with his own nature, with his own glory. He will build his church with the redemptive work of Christ. Everything is based upon the redemption that our Lord Jesus has finished for us. Nothing else. So when you come to the holy city, the New Jerusalem, you find gold all over. All over. The Lord, it is mine. I'm able to supply it. I'm able to do it. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord. Do not think back to the time of Solomon and say, now look the glory of it. And now look at what you have here. As a matter of fact, you know, this temple which the remnant built was not only small and cheaper in every way, cannot be compared with the temple of Solomon. But you know what? Even after the temple was built, certain things were missing there. You do not have the ark with the mercy seat upon it in this temple. The ark was missing. You do not have the Shekinah, glory of God. You don't have it. God's glory did not come and rest upon the mercy seat. You don't have it. Like you have in the temple built by Solomon. You do not have the fire that came down from heaven to burn the sacrifice. You don't have that. And you don't have the Urim and Thummim that the high priest had on his breastplate in order that he might decide the mind. Know the mind of God. You don't have that either. So you find what the remnant had done, you find even after they had finished the work, something, the most essential, we may say, will still be missing. And brothers and sisters, when you think of that, your heart just sunk, you know. Why bother? If that's the case, why do it at all? But the Lord said, no. No. In spite of all these lackeys, the latter glory of the house shall be greater than the former glory. Yes, at Solomon's time, there was the ark. And when the ark was brought into the temple built by Solomon, and the staffs were pulled out, that is, the ark would permanently stay there. And the glory of the Lord not only filled the holiest of all, but he filled the whole temple. Even the priest could not serve there. And when Solomon prayed, fire came down from heaven and burned the altar. Burned the burnt offering on the altar. And the priest had the Urim and Thummim to decide. Oh, everything was glory, was glorious. But brothers and sisters, all these were but types. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former glory. Why? Because this house is not built with hands. It is built with living stones. This house is God's dwelling place. Not just he will fill it with his glory, but he said, I have my rest in that. There is a union. Not only a fitting, but a union. There is a union and communion that far surpasses the former glory of this house. Oh, brothers and sisters, to think that one day there will be the manifestation of the house that God has been trying through these centuries. God has been building all the time. And one day, when the holy city, the New Jerusalem, appears, the shining of it is as the glory of God. Nothing can be compared with that. And what little you are doing here contribute to that. Nothing is lost. It's all there. And God said, in this place will I give peace. There will be peace forever. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we need to be challenged. When we are not where we should be, when we are not doing what we should do, this is the time that we need to be exhorted, challenged. But there will be times when we need to be comforted. Oh, if we answer to the Lord, if we are what he wants us to be and do what he wills us to do. Sometimes, you know, you can be discouraged seeing the little, the nothing in your hand. But the Lord said, he is the God of all comfort. Be comforted. The Lord knows. He is working out his plan. And the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former glory. You know, when God spoke in that way, Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the hearts of the remnant were comforted. They were able to carry on. May the God of comfort comfort his people today. Shall we pray?
Lord, you have to speak. Your Spirit has to carry your word into human hearts, that we may hear, that we may be comforted. Comfort those who need to be comforted. Challenge those who need to be challenged. Oh, we do want to be where thou want us to be. And we do want to be engaged in what thou want us to be engaged with. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. We praise and we thank thee, because thou dost not look at outward things. How big, how beautiful, how expensive, how visible. Lord, one day all these will be shaken away. But the kingdom that cannot be shaken shall remain. Oh Lord, we want that kingdom. We want to be engaged in that work. Help us, Lord. In thy name we pray.